This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Good morning. It's time for Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and we're now in our 18th year of bringing great local information to our listeners about our community and your real estate needs and dreams. This whole show got started back then when the owner of One Putt Broadcasting, John Ocelin, was inquiring of me. I saw him at a home show, and he inquired, he goes, "Those stats you're showing, that's not what I read in the newspaper today." I said, "Well, yeah, I read that same article, but that was from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. These are the local stats." And in John's mind, it started clicking. We need a local real estate broadcast to give us the local news, because the Fresno, the Central Valley market is not always the same as what it is in New Jersey, Michigan, or wherever. Well, and one of the beauties of this show is not only that we're sponsored by the Community Housing Council, but we have different guests every week. And today we have Patrick Connor, who is the president of London Properties. Good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Don. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Yeah, and you've been on before, so you won't be too nervous, I take it.
I think we'll make it.
All right. Now, the other guest we have here is one of his proudest members at London Properties, and that would be John Carey Jr. You were hoping I'd say the junior part, right?
Yeah, there's two of us, and I'm proud of the junior, so I always introduce myself that way and sign my name that way.
All right. And you're a broker associate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. And you and London have been together for how many years?
Me with London?
Yeah.
I've been there. It'll be 3 years in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. I've known both of these guys a long, long time, because we've all been in real estate a long, long time. And in an upcoming segment, we're going to learn about what it's like to grow up in a real estate family. Hmm. And I've got a few comments from my son who can, we'll try to dispel those rumors that he puts out about how tough it is. All right. One of the things I like about Patrick and John Jr., you guys pay attention to the market. And I've had great conversations with both of you individually about, where's the market at now? Because we've been through buyer's markets, seller's markets, normal markets, although hard to remember normal.
Right.
But how would each of you describe today's Central Valley market? And we're all pointing at John Carey Jr. You take the first leap.
You know, today's market for me is, you know, I'm out there in it now. You know, I'm strictly sales now, so I get a feel for it. And I only know what I feel, you know, when I walk in. Or I'm not one to really study the stats, although I like to know what they are, because that's what people want to know when they ask you a question, and to know what's going on. You kind of need to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I generally know the median price ranges. I know if a house is priced well. First of all, a lot of times I can tell by who has it listed. I know they're a good lister. And secondly, I can just feel when I look at a property what I think that property will bring. Again, for me, it's all feel, because I've just been in it for, you know, a long time. And out in the field, Patrick, like my father, they always knew the percentages and the stats. And, you know, Dad always knew where we were, you know, if it's a little better this quarter, last quarter, and the areas and all that stuff. And again, I just kind of know it by feel. I just, know what properties. And the market for me right now is kind of a normal. To me, I like this market. This is the way a market should be. The buyer can win, the seller can win, people can strike a fair deal. And get on the same page and people are walking away feeling that they both did pretty good. And that's what makes me feel good as a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. It's when both parties feel comfortable with what just happened.
Interesting you say a normal market and buyer and seller both having to be at the negotiating table. Mm-hmm. But that is normal. But we went a long time without it being normal. Yes. It was either a buyer's market or a seller's market or transitioning. Maybe one weekend it was normal, but that was it for the weekend.
Yeah.
Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree that, and we'll put air quotes around normal, right? Like, what exactly is that?
I don't know if you can put air quotes on the radio.
I know, that's what I had to say it. But there's this normalcy to it. You know, prices have really tapered off about the last year to 2 years. So even sellers that are looking to sell, we're still sharing with them, you're kind of selling at the top of the market in a lot of ways because we haven't had any price fall and we've just kind of been at this holding pattern. So you haven't missed out. And what are you really wanting out of your next move? And helping people make that next decision. But I think overall, instead of jumping into the statistics, it's just that overall feel of the market. And I've used this analogy recently that we've had a lot of headwinds, whether it's geopolitically, all the turbulence in the financial market and the geopolitical market. And it seems like just when we think interest rates have really come down, buyers are coming off the fence, market's picking up in a certain way, we've been dealt some sort of a blow. And I recently shared with someone, it's kind of like when you're coming down from the Shaver Lake area. And if you're coming down the four lanes, you don't have to use any gas at all. The car just wants to go. And you may have to pump the brakes and give it a few headwinds, but the car is still going to go 70, 80 miles an hour, whatever you'll let it, coming down. And I think that's our real estate market. People have been trying to put the brakes on, but our market continues to defy what's been thrown at it. And I think part of that is the engine is just so big. And when we sell a property, as John knows, it throws off like 20 jobs between everyone who's involved in the immediate transaction to the contractors, et cetera, et cetera. So the market's been moving. It's normal. Nothing crazy. I love John's comment. Sellers are getting good deals. Buyers are getting good deals. They're coming to the negotiating table. And I think a lot are feeling like they're getting a fair shake.
So let me ask this. Sounds like the good question now is it a good time to buy your first home?
Go ahead.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's always a good time to buy your first home. Me and Patrick were talking earlier about the only year or two that we feel people kind of missed it was, you know, what, 08 and 09 maybe?
Of 05, 06?
Yeah,
the peak
right
of the market.
There. I mean, people were buying in 05, but these are my reasons, especially now. I know so many people that say, you know what, I got to move. My landlord's selling the house. You know, you don't have to move. Your rent doesn't go up. Your payment kind of stays the same unless, you know, taxes and insurance goes up. It may go up a little bit. But, you know, if you get locked in a house, you lock your payment in. They can't sell it out from under you. You own it. And you can spend money on improvements, and you don't have to leave them behind or get permission. You naturally, you know, you build a bank account, you know, generally faster than the stock market can, you know, depending how good you are. But to me, it's just, and I get that question a lot. I hear it's a bad time to buy a house or whatever. I'm waiting for the deals. Well, while you're sitting around waiting for a deal, I just feel you're missing the boat. I think any time is a good time to jump in. You can borrow on it. Mm-hmm. Not that I, you know, recommend that, but you know what? Hey, talking about 08, you know, a lot of us hit our houses, you know, to survive, and we had equity. And, you know, we're able to pay it back down or whatever it took. So.
But if you're renting, you wouldn't have that option.
There's exactly. You don't have that credit card that you don't want to keep, you don't want to keep swiping it, but you know what I mean, for an emergency. My father lives in a house to this day. We're not real good for the market. He paid $38,500 for it. He still lives there. The garage is big. That's all he cares about, you know. And it's been good to him, because when you, if you're in this business, you know, 50, 60 years, there usually comes a time when you may need a little bit of credit. That's why my dad always told me, keep your credit strong.
Yeah.
So equity in a house isn't always a bad thing, but that's worst case scenario. I never recommend borrowing on your home unless, you know, it makes sense, of course.
Yeah, and if you're going to slow down, get a little bit of advice from a local person. You know, the problem we had back in 08 and 09 with all those foreclosures, most of them came from cash out refis that were done by our first run with electronic lending. If you think about it, we didn't have online lenders back in the 90s, but 2004 and 5 we did, and so many people got into loans that they didn't understand. And that caused a lot of it. So I liked what you said, John, about you can own your options if you buy a home.
You're in full control of it. And again, I don't, it hasn't always been good, but all the years, the 30 years I've been in it, those 05, 06 years were, you know, pretty brutal. And that's what I meant to say, because by 08, 09, 2010, your house was worth half of what you paid for it in 05. And I'd never seen anybody lose money on real estate. So your odds are good. We're only talking about 2 or 3 years in the 30 that I've watched it. They're pretty good odds.
But if you bought it to live in it and you were there till 2015, you're going to be just fine.
Exactly.
Plus, your loan balance went down in those 10 years. All right. You know what? It is time for our first commercial break. But stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
If I could just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio with us this morning, we have John Carey Jr. of London Properties. And I think we've heard him and his voice on One Putt Broadcasting in the last year or so. So, and I got to compliment you. You do a good job. I tease him, though, because I tell him there's no way in the world he writes his own material.
I have a good face for radio.
That you do.
Yeah.
And we also have Patrick Connor, who is the president of London Properties. And before our first commercial break, I didn't get to you, but I'd like for you to answer that question about the market.
So the market, and is would we encourage somebody to jump in and first-time home buyer, just a buyer period in the market right now? And as John said, our conversation earlier, I've never seen a bad time to buy real estate other than 05 and 06, when it was just the top of the market, and then we saw a lot of collateral damage for the next 5, you know, years or so from that. In those times when there was damage, the people that bought then, they made out like bandits because the prices, you know, fell so much. So again, those, the subsequent years, 09 and 10, were great years to buy. So really, really hard. And I just go back to those 2 years out of the last 35, that would have been a challenging time to buy. Right now is a good time to buy. We just talked about it being at a flat point the last year to two, with very little to no appreciation. And historically over time, real estate appreciates over 3.5% per year. So again, I think anybody buying now, they're going to have some tailwinds, you know, behind them with appreciation.
And always got to remember what the kids say. When we ask the kids to write their essays about what my home means to me, not one kid ever mentioned buyer's market, seller's market, interest rates. It was all about having fun with their cousins out in the backyard, running around, feeling warm and secure. So I think the kids taught us that it's not just about the calculator.
Huge, Don. And that was one of the things that I think was the hardest in 09 and 10 was we saw people losing their homes because they got into a bad mortgage, as you said, with maybe an online lender. And then the kids lose out. But really almost impossible to find a year that has not been good to buy a home. And to John's comment too, it's a forced savings account. Every month when you're making that principal payment, it's just money, really money in the bank. And that gives you options down the road as well.
I look back on the first few homes I bought and I shake my head like, man, what was I doing? Because I seem to always buy at the top of the wave. So, and I remember the first home. I mean, I paid too much for it. In fact, a buddy of mine said, what are you doing? You know you paid too much for that. It's only worth $42,000 and you paid $44,000. And it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home over by Cedar and Herndon. So, maybe short term I paid too much for it. Darn. If I only would have waited. No, wait a minute.
If you only would have bought 10. Right? Yeah.
Or bought 10 years earlier. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, let me throw this question out there, because that question was about first-time homebuyers getting into the home ownership ladder. Does it really matter to, let's say, an existing homeowner who right-sizes? They're either buying up or buying down. And let's say does it matter what market they're in? Because it would seem to me that, like, if you sell your good one at a high price, you're probably going to be buying one at a high price if the market's that way, or low and low.
Yeah, I'll start with that. I think the market, I think, is just so neutral with that. If you're going to right size, downsize, whatever that looks like, or if right sizing rather is moving up or moving down, because you're doing it for life reasons. And again, we mentioned options earlier, and I did read an article just a couple days ago that said that the baby boomers, the older baby boomers, who people have thought would be selling and downsizing, that a year and a half ago, 4% of that population was buying larger. And in the last 12 months, that's moved up to 8% of that population. So you can say 100% increase from 4%. Scaling up to 8% scaling up. And the reasons are because they want a guest house for their grandkids or for the kids to come back and grandkids to come and visit them. There's different purpose, I think, in their life to have a bigger home. So, what does right sizing mean? And it's a life choice and people should do what feels right at the particular time.
You just described the Scordino household. Our last three houses, I wanted to downsize, less to do and all that. Yeah. Each time we've moved, we've gotten bigger by 200-400 square feet. And of course, the grandkids need their own room. They,
right.
Yeah. So, thanks for it. I hope my wife's not listening to me. All right, John, what do you think about that move up or move down buyer?
I don't know. I mean, it just, like Patrick mentioned, it's just life changes, and some people need to upsize, I mean, I know for me, I came out of a larger home. I was able to leave my daughter in. She's gotten married, just brought a little baby home a couple weeks ago, and she gets to get raised in the house she wants in. So I downsized.
Is that your first grandchild?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, little
girl. How's
that
feel?
Really, really good. Like, it's indescribable. Yeah. I don't want to cry on the air, Don. I'm a tough guy, remember?
Yeah. That's why I'm working this right now. I want you to cry on the air.
Here the Kleenex.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, so for me, it made sense to downsize at that time, But now I'm looking at my life. I'm in a condo, which I really love. I've never had one. I never thought I would have one. I have nothing to do. The backyard took me like 10 minutes to rake the other day. And I like that, you know, because the gardener is out front and everybody. There's a pool guy, because a pool isn't in my backyard. I don't have to deal with that either. But now I'm starting to reconsider all that, you know. Maybe I want to upsize a little bit here shortly down the road, you know, for certain reasons. And it's just weird. Yeah, we always heard of the downsizing, but when me and Patrick were talking, it's, you know, people upsize too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I'd love a house with an ADU behind it, because maybe I could live there and everyone else could live in the main house.
There you go. For the sake of the real estate industry, don't do as your dad did and stay in one place a half a century.
Well, he did buy other homes. He's had a couple at the coast and a cabin we've had since I was 12. But he just always stayed in that one residence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all he's ever really needed. And we were raised in it, you know, us two kids, and we shared a bathroom. And when we were a very young family, we had one bathroom and three baths. So, you know, I just think people, we get a little more than we need today. And, you know, some of us need that.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be having a one-car detached garage was uptown.
Yeah.
Now you got to have three-car garage, if not four.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting more and more things that we seem to need in our lives. And on a previous show, we coined the word, it's the opposite of inflation. It's withflation. Our needs are getting wider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when we were growing up, well, not you, Patrick, you were still a kid. we had... yeah, there was only a telephone. I mean, now every kid in the house has their own cell phone, iPad, subscriptions to for TV. Well, they never had a subscription for TV. So there's more things to pay for now, not just the house. But
yeah.
Do you really need them?
Yeah, wants and needs are two different things, you know.
Yeah. All right. I like that. Well, with that, it is time for our next commercial break. But stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio. When we get back, I'm going to talk to these two guys about their family history in real estate. Stay tuned.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio, we have Patrick Connor, of the president of London Properties, John Carey Jr., a broker associate with London Properties. Now those names, Connor and Carey, sound like they've been around real estate for a time or two, and they have been. Tell us, first of all, Patrick, who was in real estate in your family as you were growing up?
Yeah, so my parents moved here from Idaho. Well, my dad grew up in Visalia, but they came to Fresno in 66 and lived in a mobile home park just east of Fresno State off of Shaw. And that was 66. And in 67, my dad got his real estate license. So that became the starting point for him, and then London Properties in about 1972. He opened up with just himself and one other sales associate.
Wow. And I remember the building was over here on Olive Avenue.
Where he started, yes, with Harold Realty, with Armin.
Yeah.
At Harold Realty.
That's right,
yeah. Would have been 67 to about 71 or two.
And then your mom was in it too.
Yes, yep. Right at that same time.
Yeah.
I think she was doing the books back in 71 or two.
Hey, she became a pretty good realtor.
Yeah, very prominent.
Yeah, sold a lot of homes. You run into her all the time because she had a lot of the listings.
Yep, 100%.
And now your sister's in it too?
Yes, yep. So Danielle was working with my mom for a few years prior to my mom passing about 9 years ago. And so, yeah, truly is a family business.
Mm-hmm. All right. And John Kerry Jr., how about you? That John Kerry name seems to be out there a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people thought my name was Watson because of C. Watson, yeah. The company. So I dealt with that a lot. But, yeah, you know, it was good. My dad worked at 7-Up till I was about 7. And I remember moving to Northwest Fresno from First and Kalish, First and Shields area on Kalish, and in the new Cadillac, you know. Everybody had a Cadillac back then. Yeah. You could lease a Cadillac for a couple hundred a month and turn it in every year, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew something was kind of going on, and you know, it's just, you know, growing up around real estate is, you know, to me it's a lot of sacrifices. My family had to make sacrifices too, and y'all kind of got to be on board because they're not always around. You know, you can't sell real estate from, you know, the backyard playing catch. You got to be out working. So there were some weekends and even some holidays. I remember on an Easter Sunday one time, we were all going over to my mom's parents, and dad dropped us off, and he went and showed a couple homes, you know, because that's just how it was. Mm-hmm. And the phone ringing during dinner, we didn't have cell phones then, you know. And the phone would always, somebody would always call during dinner, and dinner was like clockwork, 6 o'clock. And it's like everybody should have known when we were eating, right? Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of time at the office as kids, because you went to the office in those, a lot of times you're going to dinner, you got to stop at the office on the way. And it's like, oh man. You know, so, you know, with that comes things when you work hard. And, you know, we always had what we needed, plus, you know, a lot of wants as well, and just great provider. But there are sacrifices of, you know, you're a little absent, just like I was as a realtor. And it's just something the whole family's got to understand.
And I heard a story one time that makes it, and it's like, you know, we think that being a real estate agent is a job, but it's actually a business. It's a and the analogy given to me was, it's like if you own a restaurant and the cook calls in sick, you're the owner. Why should you be over there cooking? Well, you are. So it may be Saturday. Your son wants to play catch in the backyard. You better bring the son along and teach him how to cook, yeah, or how to sell real estate, because no time for playing catch. But I'm going to give you the good side of it. I was able to work my schedule to where I was the coach for my kids' soccer teams, softball teams. It was somewhat flexible. I remember asking my son when he turned 18, I said, hey, Stephen, why don't you get your real estate license? Come and work with me. You know, I got a good clientele built up. No, I don't want to work that many hours. Of course, the end of the story is about a year later, he gets a job working on a cruise ship in Hawaii. He had to work 12-hour shifts 7 days a week for 5 months till he got a day off. So, see, he never should have said that.
Right, right.
Karma came back to get him.
Always does. For the listeners, too, I think of note, and this makes times like this pretty fun for John Jr. and I, is his dad actually worked with my dad back at Herald Realty in about 1970 for a short period of time, and Jerry Jones as well. And
you know who else was in the crowd? My uncle.
Your uncle.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that. Well, there you have it. I was going to say that they had a few too many big personalities to keep all these guys together. So at some point, they're in about 71 or so. A bunch of them went different directions. But it's just fun. Fast forward 55 years later and to be sitting here today,
yeah,
with you.
Really,
and
cool, actually.
Have John Jr.
Yeah.
Right here.
And what you say about big personalities – I want all our listeners to know that John Kerry Sr. and Dan Connor certainly had some big personalities. In fact, when I was a kid growing up, on Saturday baseball games, they'd always have a segment called Characters of the Game, where, you know, they showed the personal life of one of the players. So not just playing shortstop, but what they were like, how they were characters. Well, your two fathers certainly would have been on there. If we had characters of the game.
And they, you know, and they got along. I mean, I never heard my dad, you know, me and my dad both, we can have our special moments. And, you know, you could have these issues at times and still remain friends and friends down the road. And in those days, I was telling Patrick earlier, you know, there weren't that many real estate people. So people knew us, you know, they knew us because there was probably only, I don't know what, three or four, what were considered bigger brokers. And you know, and now it's just like, you know, there's so many companies and so many realtors and stuff, you just kind of fall through the cracks. We're not as famous as we used to be, you know.
Maybe we are in our own minds. Yeah, plus the only technology back when your fathers were doing this and your mother was doing this was an automobile and a phone. So there was much more communication and personal touch. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I had somebody, he didn't like the fact that I called and left a voicemail. So he sends me an email saying, "Do not ever call me again." It's like, man.
Yeah, that's
fine.
There's nothing like that personal touch. I mean,
right. And we happen to be in a beautiful industry where cooperation is a key word. Mm. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't work at London Properties, but I love it when I sell a London Properties listing or get an offer, because I know that that person's going to be well-trained, respectful, and would actually take a phone call, not just an email.
Right.
So, and I think you guys know that too about other companies. Mm-hmm. If you call me, I'm going to pick up the phone, unless it's Saturday mornings between 9 and 10, when I do receive so many phone calls. It's like people must know I'm on the radio, so that's when they call.
Well, I think to your point, too, you know who the professionals are. And when we talk about the consumer, whether a buyer or a seller, is the value that a great realtor brings to the table. Somebody who is full-time, who's probably working anywhere from 50 to 70 plus hours a week in the business, knowing the market, knowing where to negotiate, whether it's negotiating with the seller to get to the right listing price, or just negotiating with both buyer and seller at the point of sale. Mm. And that's when things really, really start to happen and the consumer wins.
Yeah, there you go. What other industry has two competing companies coming together in one industry where both the clients win? You know, the seller gets to move on to their next option in life. Mm-hmm. The buyer gets that dream home to raise their family. So it is a nice one. And things have really changed with technology. And boy, sometimes there's 300 pages of reports and disclosures and this and that to read over. But the constant from the time I started is people. It's still a people business. So with that, it is time for our next commercial break, but stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
Said if you want my 2 cents on making a dollar count, buy dirt, find the one you can't live without. Get a ring, let your knee hit the ground. Do what you love, but call it work.
Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. I like that music, Buy Dirt. It's good for you. And we're going to show you in this segment why just buy some dirt, buy a home. And it doesn't really matter when. All right, so our two guests have been in the business a while. John Kerry Jr., and Patrick Connor, both from London Properties. Let's go. We talked in the first segment what the market's like now. Let's say we were in 2005 right now. What would we be saying the market's like? No, nobody wants to take this.
2005 is a buyer or is a realtor?
Well, give us both.
As a realtor, a lot of people are coming in the business, getting in our way.
Yeah.
You know? And when 2008 and 9 came around and those markets separated the men from the boys, they went on to what they were doing before, which to me was a good thing, because when you pick a realtor, you should try to pick a good one. You know, do your research and so on, and pick somebody that's been in the game for a while and been around, you know. But as far as being a buyer, 2005, we were talking about when we were off the air, you know, if people would have just kept making their payments and not borrowing equity on their homes, their home would be paid off right now, and they wouldn't have missed a beat because the market did come back up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is... people are just scrambling. They're buying fast. They were buying over, you know, at least at price. And, you know, then again, by 09, they were half of what they paid for them.
Yeah.
So it was crazy.
Patrick, what do you remember what it was like in 2008?
Quiet. It was very different than 05, and it honestly felt like it was about November of 06 when you knew that the wheels were coming off, but even then you didn't think we were going to hit the brick wall that we did. So 08, very different market, and mm-hmm. That was just a market to get through for everyone. And the foreclosures started coming through with the banks. Right at towards the end of 08 and beginning of 09, and that really was the bottom of the market, was February of 2009, and then from there it just, you know, it was a gradual climb out, but very, very steady through 2019, about 10 years of just steady, you know, climbing out and mm-hmm. appreciation.
And you know, a lot of people mistake that in 2008 and 9 it was a housing crisis. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say it was a banking crisis. The banks made a lot of home equity loans and cash out refis using the house as a collateral. So yeah, they had to foreclose on the house, but the house didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. It was the choices of to how to use your home as an ATM machine and pull cash out. So that caused a lot of that. I also want to say this as a realtor in 2008, I got some great advice from, of all people, my father. He was a barber for his whole career, but I got scared in 2008. You know, escrow started canceling. I got scared. I called my dad and I said, hey, what was it like working during the Great Depression? He goes, oh, don't worry about this recession going on. I go, what? Yeah, why, you know, I can't go on unemployment. I'm self-employed. He said, a recession or, here's the good advice he gave. Whether it's a recession or a depression, that just means half the business goes away. If you work hard and you stay in the top half of your industry, you're going to get your share. Mm-hmm. By golly, he was right.
Yep.
And we actually saw the true professionals come out of that.
Well, like I said, a lot of people went away, you know, and it was hard. I'm not saying it wasn't hard. I was scared to death. It was like somebody turned the water off.
Yeah.
You know, 05, I made a good amount of money that'd probably be equivalent to now to like $450 a year, you know, and then somebody turned the water off and it's like zero. It was scary. And I was a spender. So, you know, I didn't have much for reserves.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that happened to me in another recession back in 82. we hit another recession, and my last escrow canceled, and my credit card was maxed out, and I didn't have another check coming in. And then I got a Christmas card in the mail, and it said, "Dear Santa, please give us one more real estate boom, and I promise I won't spend it all away this time." That's when I learned to be a saver,
That's
not
a
just
fact.
A spender. So, all right. How about during COVID and then the after COVID spree? What was that like?
So 2020, right?
Yeah.
COVID. Well, I said our market was fairly normal up into 19, and we didn't know what to expect with COVID. But after the first couple months is when we saw the market just really take off and accelerate. I don't know exactly what that appreciation was, but probably 15% to 19%, depending on the price point of the properties, that next 12 months.
I'd like to say home appreciation was 100%, and here's, but it's a different kind of appreciation. People, the reason we went on that spree, people appreciated their home after COVID. It's like, oh yeah, I do need a place. This is nice to be here. And so appreciation is, can be just money, but it's also the intangible of it's the right place and for your family to be there and appreciate that. All right. What about, in the interest rates back then were artificially lowered down to about 3%. Some people even got interest rates in the twos. Heck yeah, that's going to spur some buyers.
Absolutely. So that's exactly what we felt through 2020 and 2021 until about that first second quarter of 22 when interest rates started going up. Uh-huh. So a lot of appreciation.
Yeah, and something that I noticed too is an individual could buy with that really, really low interest rate, could skip the starter home and go right into the forever home. I remember selling a home to some people that, they were only 24, 25 years old, buying their forever home. It's like, hey, wait a minute. You can't start off like that and be like John Kerry Sr. where he's in one house forever. Hey, tell him I said that, please. That's not good for the market when someone doesn't sell their home in for 50 years. All right. And then the bad part then is all of a sudden interest rates went way up. But they didn't really, I take that back, they didn't really go way up. They went up, but it felt like way up. When you're used to 3, all of a sudden 4 is outrageous. I remember one buyer one time, I overheard him telling their agent, 3.5%, whoop-de-doo, that's not that great. Oh yeah, you'd love to have it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you know, we only got a couple of minutes left in the show, so I'd like to ask each of you, what do you want our listeners to remember most about today's show? Who wants to take that one first?
I'll take it.
You're the brave one, John.
I mean, I just think it's important to buy a home and you know, even if it's not quite what you like, and you know, home, they're stepping stones. They were for me. And you know, you eventually end up where you want to be or with the paid off piece of property that's maybe just kind of what you want, but now all of a sudden you have no rent or anything else. But and to do that, just make sure that you know, get somebody knowledgeable to help you, and so you don't have a bad experience and you walk away with a good taste in your mouth, because there's a lot of good people out there that you know, are true professionals, and you need somebody like that. You know, I hate to sound shallow, but you know, any monkey can go out and get a real estate license, you know, mm-hmm. or a broker's license. My dad says it takes a couple $100 and a couple Wheaties box tops or something. But you got to find somebody that cares, that values you and your money and your future.
And you usually don't find that by clicking the submit button online.
Do some research.
Yeah.
Talk to a few people, you know.
There you go. Because it's important that you find someone you can trust.
Yeah.
Patrick, what do you have to say? What do you want our listeners to remember most about today's show?
I'll jump on that word trust that you just used. And the fact that we're in this room today and John and I are talking about our dads over 55 years ago, working in the same office together for a period of time. And here we are. So it's the relationships, it's trust. I think home buying, it just makes sense, period, financially, home buying. You find a home that you can afford the payment, right? You will not be sorry about jumping into home ownership. But there's so much information out there right now that I think buyers, particularly first-time home buyers, this next generation of home buyers, they just feel overwhelmed. So to cut through that, get through that feeling and to cut through all the information, to John's point, get with a realtor who's in this as a profession, who can give some great guidance and really be that trusted advisor and help you through that process of jumping into home ownership.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to thank both of you guys for coming in today, and I want to thank the Community Housing Council for sponsoring this show. Most of all, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in every week and making this show relevant. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll be back again next Saturday.
Appreciate being here.
Thank you.